With Montana News, I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi. Two different versions of Montana conservatism have been butting heads for years in the State House, and they'll be pitted against each other again in this week's primary election as GOP voters choose them between factions of the Republican Party. Business-minded Republicans willing to work across the aisle, and party hardlines who legislate with strict ideology. Reporter Eric Dietrich with Montana Free Press has been following this rift within GOP lawmakers. He shared his recent reporting previewing primary races in the Republican Party with Montana Public Radio's Corn Cates Carney.
Was there a particular issue before the Montana legislature last year that really illustrated this difference between the two wings of the GOP?
Was the debate over the Medicaid expansion renewal bill. If you don't remember, that was a bill that re-upped a program that provides health care for about 80,000 Montanans, particularly lower-income Montanans. And it passed initially in 2015, was up for renewal last year. This is a program that had been pretty much universally applauded by public health advocates. But, of course, the hardline conservative side is a big government moondoggle and would wanted to see it chopped. So there's one group of the Republicans, the Solutions Caucus, that we've heard a fair amount about. And they, one of their members, Ed Vetri out of Great Falls, put together a renewal bill. And that bill ultimately passed. It support from moderate Republicans and Democrats, opposition from hardline Republicans. It was signed by the governor, who, of course, is a Democrat.
And that Solutions Caucus you mentioned, that refers to that caucus of maybe moderates willing to make deals with Democrats but leave the party hardliners behind.
The folks in the Solutions Caucus actually prefer the label Conservative Solutions Caucus. And their argument there is that to some extent that's political branding, but their argument is that their values are as conservative as anyone's, but they say they're just more pragmatic than some of their peers about how to translate those values into policy. And again, Medicaid expansion is a good example there. There were other issues that kind of fell into the same dynamic. For example, the infrastructure bonding bill that passed through the legislature for the first time in several sessions, that's happened. And then also a bed tax increase that created a revenue stream to fund, in addition to a couple other things, a new historical society building in Helena.
Your recent report on the primary battle now playing out in this rift refers to the hardline Republicans in the State House as the 38 Special, a name they gave themselves referring to the number of lawmakers in their group and a type of handgun. It sounds like this divide between the Solutions Caucus and the 38 Special deepened during the last legislative session.
The Republicans opened last session by saying, you know, kind of, we have a united caucus, we're going to get stuff done. And that was maybe a little bit aspirational, but by the end of the session, it was clear that the Medicaid issue in particular had seemed to drive a wedge. So during the floor debate on the House, and the House side of the Medicaid bill, there was a moment when the GOP majority leader, Brad Chita from Missoula, got up and as part of these arguments against the bill said, you know, be aware that anyone who votes for this bill is going to need to answer to the people back home, end quote. And so there's a very clear message of, like, you know, fellow Republicans, you know, we don't think your primary voters want this. Like, you vote for this, you're going to have to, like, face the consequences come primary season, which, of course, is where we're at now.
And so this cut you're describing between the so-called Solutions Caucus of maybe moderates willing to negotiate with Democrats, and then the more hardline 38 Special. When it comes to, you know, how the party in the legislature is going to move forward in the primary contest, how are you seeing those play out in the primary?
We're seeing many of them challenged and attacked for their votes on Medicaid. That's been very clearly a vote that is being brought into the political process and you know, used. You know, the folks are running on it. Folks are being opposed based on it. And then we have races in the legislative primaries on the GOP side, both where Solutions Caucus aligned candidates are being challenged as quote unquote fake Republicans because of their support for the Medicaid expansion. And there are also races where some members of the 38 Special are being challenged by moderate candidates. My reporting, I tried to count, which of course is a little bit hard with legislative races sometimes, but I identified 12 primaries with right-wing challengers and four or five where hardline Republicans are facing centrist opponents.
And what's one of these primary races that pits the you know, more conservative, you know, relatively moderate candidates against each other that you're watching?
Yeah, so the highest profile race is almost certainly between Nancy Balance and Teresa Manzella in Senate District 44, north of Hamilton. Both those women are current representatives. Balance is a finance wonk who came into the legislature in a Tea Party way, but has moderated as she's helped write the state budget the last few sessions. Manzella has also been around a few sessions, but she's very much stuck to the hard right. She's known more for legislation like a couple bills she had last session that would have weakened childhood vaccination requirements. So there's a very clear-cut choice for voters in that district to make.
What could this mean for the next legislative session in 2021? And maybe break down for us, you know, why would it be relevant, you know, how Republican primaries play out and maybe not as relevant as, you know, the Democratic primaries?
So the first thing to know is that most political observers in the state don't seem to think that the Democrats have a good chance of winning back the Montana legislature this year. It looks likely we're going to have a Republican majority again. So the question is, what does that Republican majority look like? What is the composition there? In terms of issues, we're likely going to be talking a lot about a COVID hit on the state budget going into the 2021 session. Legislative races we're looking at here will determine the balance of power within the Republican delegation, whether it's the Solutions Caucus types who are, you know, tight purse strings that definitely do see the value of certain public programs, or hardliners who would much rather prefer to have an excuse to cut back state government. The faction that's in the driver's seat there will determine the sort of policy we get out. The other key variable here we should mention, which is a different race, but it's who's in the governor's office. Part of the reason the centrist Republicans were empowered in 2019 because they had to work with a Democratic governor who could veto legislation that was passed by the Solutions Caucus and the hard right working together. And there were a number of bills that, you know, made it through the legislature and died against the governor's veto pen. If we have a Republican in the governor's office, especially one who's aligned with the hard right, the political dynamics in the Capitol will be quite different.
Eric Dietrich is a reporter with the Montana Free Press. You can learn more about his reporting on the Free Press website and the Lowdown podcast. Eric, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Karin.